Good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. My guest tonight will be General Michael Flynn. And then we'll be joined by Mike Adams. And then we'll be joined by Karen Kingston, the bioanalyst, to give us an update on monkeypox and where that's going and some interesting things since she was off the air with me at 1 o'clock Central. And then we'll have Chris Horn on with us, who's running for Secretary of State in Alabama. As you know, we talked about the outbreak, so-called, of monkeypox. Why do I put quotes around that? Because is this what this is, or is this just the consequence of people getting so many boosters? Because if you look at the pictures of shingles and the pictures of what some are saying are monkeypox, it's the exact same thing. In some cases, the exact same pictures. We'll show that to you again today. We showed it to you on television between 1 and 2 Central today on my show. But we talked about this Friday. We talked about it all week, and then Friday night. And then Saturday night, we broke in here with a live broadcast for an hour and 15 minutes, an emergency broadcast. And Karen and I went over this document right here, if you guys want to show the screen. And this is from a document that came out in November of 2021, where this group, and we went into who this group is, actually rehearsed what is a simulation of the monkeypox breaking out in, look at their own timeline, May 15th, 2022. Are you serious? How is it they hold a simulation, a table talk exercise in November of 2021 and have the monkeypox breaking out April 15th, 2022, which was pretty much what happened last week? Then they go on to talk about how they expect by January 10th, 2023, 83 countries affected, 70 million cases, 1.3 million dead, international supply chain challenges. A year from now, May 10, 2023, they figure 480 million cases, 27 million dead. And by December 1st, 2023, 3.2 billion cases, 271 million people dead. Well, their own report says this was funded by Open Philanthropy. I went and looked that guy up. Guess what? Dustin Moskovitz, co-founder of Facebook. Hold on. Really? So we had the election with $400 million from Zuckerberg for drop boxes and ballots, and now one of his buddies, co-founder of Facebook, is involved in funding a report about monkeypox? Interesting enough. And then we went through the board. Then we went through who is on this thing, and the board for the simulation, the participants included somebody from the U.S. National Security Council, Dr. Beth Cameron. And then it included someone with Johnson & Johnson, someone with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, former commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, somebody with the United Nations, former Senator Sam Nunn, someone with WHO, World Health Organization. And what do they say is the solution? Give the WHO more power so that when they see something coming, or what they call triggers, they can immediately declare an emergency and give power to the WHO, the UN. And they have to have a no regrets policy, which means, as they state, sometimes we're going to have a false alarm, but we could have no regrets. Oh, I'm sorry. We locked everybody down and destroyed more businesses, but we're not going to regret that. Well, that's easy for them. Most of them are on government checks. And this seems like, to me, a great way to disrupt the entire election cycle for midterms once again. We'll get into that and more, but I'd also like to get the response of General Michael Flynn, former DNI, Director of National Intelligence. I bet you he has something to say about all this and these players and these actors. And by the way, some of these people were finding connections again back to China. I mean, I'm very concerned that this Biden regime is actually just agents of China. Millions and millions of dollars to Biden, according to how many sources now? Going to the guy at the top, to dad, to pop, whatever they want to call him, the big guy? I mean, is he not just an agent of China? I mean, have we been attacked with a bioweapon orchestrated by enemies, both foreign and domestic? We'll get into that with General Michael Flynn, as well as he's just launched a massive, I think I saw the figure, $50 million lawsuit against, well, the deep state, virtually. Joining me now is General Michael Flynn. General Flynn, welcome back to Brandon House Live. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brandon. It's great. I mean, there's just so much going on in the world right now. And I think that part of this, part of what you just talked about with the it's actually that November 2021 scenario that they ran. It's called the Nuclear Threat Initiative, Nuclear Threat Initiative, NTI. And it's a very, very serious. This is very serious because these people, they have planned this thing out so well and they've timed it. So I think that, and there is a Davos World Economic Forum session going on right now as we speak, and from the results of it are going to lead to a set of decisions this summer, very soon. I think in the next 30 days, we're going to start hearing more and more about this. We're already seeing it come out in our own U.S. mainstream media about some of the things that they are planning on doing. You know, and this is one of these sort of fool me once, you know, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you. As it relates to this lawsuit, what we essentially did, Brandon, was we put on notice through the Department of Justice, through appropriate channels, that I plan on suing, you know, everybody from, you know, and I can start at the, you know, sort of the low hanging fruit, sort of a Lisa Page, you know, a guy that used to work for the Department of Justice, Bruce Orr, all the way up to Barack Obama, because they're all private citizens now. Now, Barack Obama, president, former president of the United States, may have some immunities, and they may push back on that. But I am no longer going to be, you know, the pincushion for these people. And you know, you followed this very, very closely, Brandon, and your audience in your earlier days, and now the audience now has just been extraordinary in their offering of prayers for my family and I. And I always tell people, I met a whole bunch of people yesterday at a couple of rallies I attended for Joey Gilbert out at Nevada. He's running for governor out there, and had a great conversation with Candace Taylor's earlier today. She's in the hunt for governor of Georgia here tomorrow. I'm all for these people. These are fighters. And people come up to me and said, you know, General Flynn, my family and I were praying for you. And I said, I looked at him and I said, well, you know, prayers do matter. I've always said they're the most powerful weapon system known to man. And you're looking at somebody whose prayers, you know, your prayers were answered. And so now, Brandon, it's like every time, you know, every other thing that we do when we pray, you know, we pray on our knees and then we stand for our country. And this is my way of fighting back, because really, you know, I mean, I lost a lot, certainly a lot, but it's not the money. It's the principle of accountability in our country that people want to see. And so in a small way, this is going to be what I will do. And frankly, Brandon, this is not the only thing that I will take on here. We, you know, we have some other things in play. The interesting thing, I think, for your audience, and I don't think I've reported this anywhere else, but we actually filed that. We filed that back last fall, okay, late last fall. And I've been very quiet about it because, you know, that's just sort of who I am. But I've been very quiet about it. And John Solomon, you know, has a very good in at the Department of Justice. And through Just the News, they discovered that we had filed that suit. And so, you know, he made it public, and because the Department of Justice has about 6 months before they have to respond, as justice does, it moves slowly, methodically, and painfully for many of us, like what's happening in the current Durham, not only investigation, but the Durham case against this FBI agent Sussman, or lawyer Sussman, excuse me. But so that this is our attempt to fight back. And as I go around the country and I get involved in whether it's campaigning for different people, like I said, about Candace or about Joey Gilbert or about, you know, Jackson Lawmire or some of these people around the country, Doug Mastriano, who recently won in Pennsylvania. I mean, I am encouraged. I am very encouraged by the fight in the American people to push back against this sort of leftist agenda, and I want people to understand, because you've been covering a lot of this for a long time, and I appreciate what you do personally, what the various people that you have on your shows now in Lindell TV, but also the audience. The audience is responding. The audience of, you know, the American audience, the America patriotic audience out there, and these are all you know, political classes, right? I mean, when we talk about Republicans and Democrats, these are people who love our country. These are, you know, these are people that believe in the Judeo-Christian principles and values of our country and are willing to stand up for them. And they see what's happening to our country. It's being taken over by a small elite And they are moving us towards a, they want to move us towards a sort of a Marxist fascist system, if you will. I mean, and again, I, you know, a year ago, and I've been called conspiracy theorist so often. I mean, we know now that the election fraud of 2020, I mean, we had a discussion with people from the New York Times and the Washington Post recently, and we told them, we'll do an interview with you as long as you don't use the phrase baseless conspiracy theory when you talk about election fraud, because it's no longer baseless. I mean, from all the various documentaries that Mike Lindell put out, which are all extraordinary and all you know, factually true, and now this latest one by Dinesh D'Souza, 2,000 Mules, and the recent investigation by a county sheriff down in Yuma, Arizona, and I understand now today I was given a heads up that they are now a couple of people that were mules have been speaking about. The nonprofits that supported them. So the sheriff is going after these nonprofits. I don't mind talking about that publicly, because they all ought to be put on notice. And one other area that we've been I've been very happy with is school boards across the country. We work with County Citizens Defending Freedom, based out of Florida, but they work all over this country. We work with Moms for America. We've been working with the Virginia Fighting for America First values up in Virginia, and we've had extraordinary success overturning school boards, and we're upwards of about 200 school boards in this country where we're fighting back against this crazy critical race theory, and now you know that what the left does, Brandon, and you know this, they change names, right? They change the name to protect themselves, right? They change it to social emotional learning.
Right.
I mean, we cannot have young boys and young girls thinking that they're anything other than what God has ordained them to be. And so anyway, I could go on and on. I appreciate you allowing me some time and talk a little bit. I mean, we can jump for I only have a few minutes with you here just because of my crazy schedule, but jump to any subject you want.
Let's
will keep people informed about that $50 million lawsuit. That's exactly what it is.
Do you have a timetable?
We
do.
Do
you have any kind of timetable?
Well, I would just say that we should be hearing something very soon, and when we do, we will be filing, against people who are now individuals and private citizens who were part of a cabal. That like people like to use that word cabal, but part of a group of people that essentially attempted and staged a coup of the United States of America, and to try to remove a duly elected president. In this case, President Donald J. Trump, and he was duly elected in 2016. They tried to take him down, and obviously I was a major target of that. And he was duly elected in 2020, and now what we're facing is is this fight of our lives for our country. And,
absolutely.
And I don't mind saying that I'm right. I'll stand at the pointy end of that spear any day of the week.
Let me ask you, General, and again, his website is generalflynn.com. Is that the website you want promoted, General Flynn?
Yes, that's great. Yeah, generalflynn.com. Please go to that website. I have a new publication out there, Letter for America, Time to Fight for Our Family. Faith and Family is Now. And I would, wish everybody would read it, and especially young adults and teenagers too. It's worth reading it for them.
Let me ask you, General, we have so many things we can talk to in the limited time we have, but let me get to as many as we can. We're reading a report tonight, this is coming from Newsmax, Taiwan not included in launch of new Biden Indo-Pacific PAC. That came out yesterday. President Joe Biden on Monday is expected to come out with a list of nations that will join a long-anticipated Indo-Pacific PAC, trade PAC, but Taiwan won't be among them. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan confirmed that Taiwan isn't among the governments signed up for the launch of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, a pact that's meant to allow the U.S. to work more closely with key Asian economies on issues like supply chains, digital trade, clean energy, and anti-corruption. The U.S. president is slated to highlight the launch of the framework as he meets the Japanese president Monday. Is this a big deal? Because I was reading from General McInerney and John Mills, talking to some of these guys I know, and there seems to be concern that this is not the message we should be sending in regard to Taiwan, and this leaves Taiwan, of course, in the lurch in some ways with China, and then, of course, should we then be concerned about the Philippines, Australia? I mean, people are actually in a chat that I'm in talking about some of these issues. What say you, General Flynn?
Yeah, so here's where we're at. And this is very complex, and it's very confusing for just the regular old American out there. We've always had this, what we call sort of a policy of ambiguity, and we need to stop that. We're now in a different place as the United States of America, and we need to be very certain and very determined about what we stand for as a nation. We stand for freedom, and so we cannot be ambiguous about our policy for Taiwan, and we need to make sure that China understands that. Now, just like we were ambiguous about what happened over in Eastern Europe, what's going on there, this administration was very ambiguous about what they would do or not do, just an extraordinary sign of weakness. And Joe Biden's recent remarks on his Asian trip only led to more confusion and a demonstration of the complete lack of leadership. The president, I know, misspoke because his entire cabinet of diplomats and military and national security folks tried to walk it back. But what he actually said is actually what we need. You know, we need a clarity. And he actually misspoke. I watched that clip a number of times because it is a historic statement by a president of the United States. And his entire administration is now trying to walk it back, as you just read those quotes there, I think from Jake Sullivan, the current national security advisor. And so we have to be clear about where we stand with Taiwan. Taiwan is a free nation and is a democracy of sorts. And we have always stood with them, and we need to continue to stand with them. And we cannot be ambiguous. We cannot be ambiguous as the United States of America as it relates to any of these adversaries around the world. And China is encroaching on every aspect, both domestically in our country, and I would say even in terms of infiltration into our government and certainly our academia and other institutes of maybe business and technology, but definitely in a international or certainly an overseas way, they are encroaching with their military in all cases around the Pacific. So yes, should the Philippines, should South Korea, should Japan, should Indonesia, should all of the countries of the Pacific, of the Indo-Pacific basin be concerned? Absolutely, they should be concerned when we are ambiguous. And I don't want the United States to be ambiguous. And I want us to stand firm when it comes to Taiwan. Now, will we go to war with Taiwan? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Are we prepared for war? I believe that our Indo-Pacific forces are more prepared than we are elsewhere around the globe. But I would say that we are in a very difficult time because principally historic period, because principally the lack of leadership that we have sitting in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
What do you make, General, I don't know if you've seen the clip or not, it's been going around the last couple of days on CNN, Carl Cameron, who used to be known as Campaign Carl over at Fox News, now he's over at CNN, is stating that the government needs to do something about the disinformation and the lies. I mean, who would have ever thought we'd be at a day where journalists, even if they're on the left, journalists were always about free speech, the right of the press, free speech. I mean, look at what, Bernstein did during Nixon and Watergate, writing about a sitting president and all that was going on. And now journalists like Carl on CNN talking about the fact that the government needs to deal with these people that are lying and putting out disinformation, and there needs to be basically, I sound like threatening that, you know, people need to be prosecuted. I mean, are you serious? Can you even believe that we have people?
Especially CNN.
Yes.
Well, let me talk a little bit about this whole disinformation, misinformation, right? Disinformation is really intentionally misinforming or, you know, informing an audience. Misinformation is you just get something wrong. You know, I won't mention the media outlet there, but I will tell you that the amount of disinformation from the mainstream media is extraordinary. But information, Brandon, is in the eye of the beholder. And I would say that what we hear from many in the media, particularly, you know, in that realm, and there are overseas markets as well that also spew disinformation, and that is intentionally telling somebody something that is false. That happens all the time, and I would just say that they're some of the biggest propagators of it. They are projecting on us what they think those of us that are what I would call sort of truth-telling networks. There's a lot of independent podcasters around the world, around the country, certainly in our country. I would say organizations like yours, Lindell TV, you have arisen and you have a growing and terrific audience because it is a truth-telling network. You allow all sides to be discussed. You allow great conversations. You allow great discourse. You allow for great debate. And I'm not just, blowing smoke up your skirt there. I'm telling you what I see. I mean, this is a very dangerous thing though, too. I mean, when we think about people like James O'Keefe, who was attacked for their ability to inform the public about what they investigate. Jack Posobiec over in Davos, Switzerland today was detained. He was detained. Now, Jack Posobiec, I think he was over there working for the Charlie Kirk Network and the Davos, the World Economic Forum police, I guess, is what they call it. So Jack Posobiec is credentialed, and he's over there legitimately. And they were taking a break out of a cafe to get a bite to eat, and they were detained for a period of time because of their reporting. So, again, we have to be very careful about these people and these networks and these corporations that are these sort of corporate monopolies that own a lot of the information networks. We have to be very careful about what they're saying, and we have to push back on that. Freedom of speech is a human right. Freedom of speech is something, it's not just in our Bill of Rights, it is a God-given right.
Yes.
And it is a human right, and it's something that we have to protect. And I think for anybody that watches this show tonight and is paying attention, we're going to have to push back on this. And we're going to see this over the course of the next 30 to 90 days. Believe me, we're going to see a lot of this stuff, what you talked about with this monkeypox nonsense. And you're going to see objectives being stated by this Davos crowd that's going on right now. And they are going to push an agenda over the next 90 days and probably into the fall. And it's going to affect our elections. And I want everybody to be awake. I want everybody to pay attention, dig, research. And for those people that are willing to, like you, like Mike Lindell, to stand up, step up, and speak up for this country, because we're at a, some call it at a tipping point. I think we're at the, we're at the last few seconds of the 12th hour. I think we're beyond the 11th hour. And we're going to have to really shore up. Everybody's going to have to shore up and figure out what their God-given talents and skills are and get involved, whether it's politically, whether it's, in your communities, at your churches, local level. And I use the phrase local action equals a national impact. And I firmly believe in that, especially as I talked about those school boards and what moms around this country are doing. One of the worst things that our government did, one of the dumbest things that our government did, was call moms domestic terrorists.
Well, let me just jump in right there due to the time. I got like 5 minutes left with you, because that's a great segue right there, General. I'm going to let the audience in tonight on a news story, because we're, as you know, we have the Worldview Report news show, that 30-minute nightly news show. I don't know if you've had a chance to catch our new 30-minute straight nightly news, just 30 minutes from 7 to 7:30. Well, here's the news story we're working on for tomorrow night's broadcast. I'm going to bring it to you early tonight, folks, because I want General Flynn to hear this respond. The U.S. Department of Justice on May 20th announced new initiatives worth $10 million to fight so-called hate crimes under other, quote, bias-related incidences, end quote. According to a report in the Ecomoc Times, this comes just days after the House passed legislation to authorize dedicated offices within the U.S. federal government departments to monitor domestic terrorism and hate crimes. Now, of course, we already know that people who question the election, people that are capitalists, they're called white supremacists, they're called domestic terrorists, they're called all kinds of things. As part of the DOJ's efforts, it released new guidelines with the Department of Health and Human Services to raise awareness of hate crimes during the COVID-19 pandemic. This marks the continuation of the Biden administration's all-out war on truth tellers as an increasingly desperate regime seeks to mete out retribution against political speech from American citizens that is 100% protected by the First Amendment. There's also a $5 million $5 million for grant opportunities, set up state-run, quote, hate crime reporting hotlines, end quote, and support, quote, community-based approaches to prevent and address hate crimes, end quote. The DOJ will also hire its first, quote, language access coordinator, end quote, whatever that means. And then, of course, the attorney general went on to put out a press release about it. I mean, this is dangerous. These people, for all their talk of McCarthyism, and Joseph McCarthy was largely right, more than he knew, because he didn't even know about the Venona Project that didn't come out until, you know, many, many years later. And it did show that we were intercepting the cables and the communications from the Soviet Union into the U.S. and translating them. So he was more right than he knew. But this term McCarthyism and red baiting is thrown around as though we're crazy to have been questioning communists and communism in our government, yet we know historically now that's been proven. And yet the people that claim to be against McCarthyism are now going to set up in the Department of Justice people to define what is hate speech. The problem, General, as you and I know, today words are being redefined, and hate speech is anytime you speak against their politically correct cultural Marxist narrative. This is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you alluded to the fact it's getting to be dangerous to be a reporter and a journalist that speaks truth. Add that to the equation.
Yeah, and actually anybody like myself or any of these independent podcasters that are out there that are just, you know, that pop up on their garage and they get on their iPhone and they gather an audience and they start talking about how they feel. You know, there is a office in the Department of Justice that was stood up specifically for this, and there's a god awful lot of taxpayer dollars that are going into it. And it's the, you know, and the target is, it's people like us, okay? And when I say us, that includes a whole range of what I do believe are truth tellers out there that are looking at the facts and doing the analysis and saying, okay, well, this is what I see, this is what I believe, and you tell me that I'm wrong, you know? And so I think that your show tomorrow night, I'm gonna watch. That number two, we have to be very, very careful how our government has moved over a line, which is now really, really, I mean, they've sort of always been close to it, but we're now moving across a line, moving across a threshold where our very rights, particularly our First Amendment rights, are being threatened. And it's very real. I mean, it's, again, I can't say it any more strongly, then I think we're in a very dangerous time when it comes to that specific issue, because what is that? How is that defined? You know, who is the beholder of that definition? And of course, it's the government, and they control all the levers of justice and all the levers of power. And so we have to really, at the levels that we are at, and I'm talking about local levels in our own communities, this is how individual rights and states' rights, and I want to see, and I know Mike has been a big champion of this, I want to see attorneys general standing up and coming together at states' levels and filing injunctions against some of this stuff. I mean, they are going to have to be our front line sort of defense to be and offense to be able to go against this thing constitutionally and under the guise of the rule of law, because we're going to find people are going to be assaulted for just speaking their mind.
Absolutely.
And that's not a good thing in a democracy and in a constitutional republic. So
absolutely
I'll be
not
paying attention to that show tomorrow night. So thank you very much
for General Flynn
allowing me some time tonight.
No, thank you. GeneralFlynn.com, GeneralFlynn.com. Hope you'll visit it. Thank you, General Flynn.
God bless.
General Flynn checking in. I hope you'll check out his website, GeneralFlynn.com. Great American there. Good friend. Been in our studio a few times. We always love welcoming him to our studio and via Skype as well.